You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
You wish to serve the great houses and shape the flow of power. You must first exert power over yourself.
The more influence our sisterhood gains, the more enemies we make.
There was a time when you took my view seriously. Instead of allowing those sorceresses to woo you.
The sisterhood, they hide in your camp. And do our thinking for us.
Our hands are poised on the levers of power. And yet our grasp on it is still fragile. I am trying to protect the Imperium. Sacrifices must be made.
Spooky, yes, sacrifices must be made, and I am sacrificing it tonight because tonight, the Periodic Table of Awesome, it is Jill and her sacrificial lamb, Dion, as we are all here. And hello to everyone, and have everyone in the chat. Hello there.
Hi, guys.
Yeah, I just hope you all can hear me and we don't have some sort of terrible fucking audio problems again, but when, you know, who knows? Oh, I'm sure people will let us know straight away when I do that. Yeah, okay, so this is where I have panicked as I realised that, there's an echo on Jill's mic. Okay.
Oh, wonderful.
Great. Don't know how to fix that.
Oh, no.
You go, Jill. What about that? Can everyone hear Jill? If Jill talks now.
Yeah, how is that? Is the echo gone? Is it still there? Am I being really annoying by just continually talking?
Who knows? We will try. I'm sure that we will get let in on the secret. As we go in there. Sounds good. Excellent. Oh, fantastic. We've fixed that problem now. Look, to be honest, I've panicked. And it is the last minute shop of whatever's happening. And I haven't really thought about all of these things that we still have
here. Yeah, thank God the Westfield's open late.
Yeah, it's late night shopping. We're just going to cram it all in there. We've got so many things to review. We've got scheduled stuff. So it's not the last show. I realized after today, I was like, this sounds like the last show of the year. No, it's not. It's not the last show of the year. We've still got two more to go after this one. So we're going to do the War for the Rorum. Rural Jura. It's Rural Jura next week. And then we're coming back with absolute Christmas thirst traps, which I'm actually quite looking forward to.
Yes. I have watched two thirst trap Christmas films already and looking forward to seeing.
And absolutely true, Preta Kanga. She was using the Bene Gesserit voice on us.
I did see a great video the other day of a girl like dressed up like a Bene Gesserit just in the kitchen. It says to the husband, nice. Wash the dishes.
I think that's good too. but we're going to get to the Dune prophecy in a little bit.
Okay.
Because I know that I put on the schedule that we were going to do Dune Prophecy and Moana 2 and something else. I think Gladiator 2.
Yeah. Look, we might have been a little bit hopeful about invites we were getting for some screenings, but
Not really that, but also time poor. Last minute snubs. Yeah, yeah. Time poor.
And last minute snubs.
Yeah. Subs in.
We had to go on a waiting list for Moana, so dipped out on that one.
Yeah, yeah. It's okay. We just didn't press accept in time. Sure.
Well, yeah. The trigger figure wasn't quite as quick as everyone else.
We all have busy lives. It's okay. But we are going to talk. Well, Jill and I are going to talk specifically about the movie that we went to last night. What did we go and see?
Nosferatu Furious.
the remake of the original.
Yeah, the reboot.
Yep.
The reboot.
The recount. we went along to watch Nosferatu last night, and interesting. It's David Eggers, who's the director, who you might
Robert
remember.
Robert Eggers.
Rob Eggers.
There's always a Rob and there's always a Dave.
Dave's. Robert Eggers, who you might remember from The Vivitch, and Northman. That was an interesting one. And now he's done.
I've not seen either of those films.
Right. Okay. So
I came in uncolored.
Yeah. So, like, the Vavitch, and I call it the Vavitch because it has two V's instead of a W.
So it's actually called The Witch?
Yeah, it's called The Witch, but I'm not going to let people get away with that because I'm a pedant and that's why people hate me. and that was a really cool stylistic film with Anya Taylor-Joy, who, prior to her this was her really sort of coming out film. Where she, like,
I'm trying to think, did I see it?
Yeah. Remember the goat? No, the black goat, the Puritans, they're trying to make a, like, on a farm, and then everyone sort of goes crazy and talking about witches and Satan and all that kind of stuff.
Maybe not.
No? Okay. Fine. It's really lovely, stylistic, kind of off putting sort of, kind of film, in the sense that it's shot beautifully, it's got really beautiful style to it. And a lot of that you would have seen in Nosferatu. And then that was exciting. And then he did The Northman, which came out last year, I think. And that one was visually stunning, but just a bit weird. Like, which was basically just about a Northman, Viking land stuff. And now turned his hand to a remake this time, not an original property.
And 102-year-old reboot.
Yeah.
The original came out in 1922. And I hate to say it, but it's 2024.
Yeah. Shut up.
102 years. Like, gross.
gross. So as a bit of a, like, and, unfortunately, not unfortunately, people can't get to see this until, I think, Boxing Day in Australia.
Yeah, it comes out sometime between Christmas and New Year's.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. And we weren't told about any kind of embargo. So
look, it's out there now. We've seen it. We'll give you our sort of thing of it. And Jill, as a person who's definitely seen the original Nosferatu, how did you?
Yes, I was there when it was released in theatre houses.
Great, yes. In the motion picture houses.
Yes, was it a talkie or was it a silent film?
I believe it was a silent film.
Okay.
Gonna just quickly check that.
So I didn't even go to the talkies then?
No.
Definitely the moving picture of the house.
Yeah, it's silent. There we go.
There you go. Yep. I mean, I'm pretty sure everybody has seen clips and footage of that original film.
Yeah.
It is a loving tribute to the book Dracula by Bram Stoker.
Mm.
And Bram Stoker actually sued the filmmakers who made Nosferatu because they completely ripped off his work. And so all roles of the film had to be destroyed as part of his court case thing, winning his suing.
Yeah.
But there were a few that survived, so that's why we still have images of it today.
Yeah. And that kind of explains why it's Count Orlok and not Count Dracula, and why it's Thomas Hutton, not Jonathan Harker, and all of those kinds of bits and pieces, you see.
Little tweaks.
But it's quite a faithful adaptation. Like, I have to admit, the the new Nosferatu with a really great cast. You're kind of looking there and it's like, shit, there's Aaron Taylor Johnson, there's, you might not recognize Skarsgård, what's his name? Bill Skarsgård.
Bill, yeah.
Good old Bill. And Nicholas Holt, sorry.
Nicholas Holt.
Very bad with names today, Jeremiah. No, I don't. I'm just bad with names, I'm realizing. But yeah, look, it's an interesting adaptation and an interesting way that they did it. And it's funny, isn't it, that Nosferatu came out, which was literally a rip-off of Bram Stoker's Dracula. And then 102 years later, as you casually point out to make us all feel ancient, they make a faithful adaptation of the rip-off of
Yeah.
Something. So that's...
It's pretty spot on. There are a few little subtleties, but everything, like, story-wise is pretty much the same. And I gotta say, I fucking enjoyed this movie.
Did you?
Like, I really liked it. Like, as a horror film, it was great.
Yeah.
It was terrifying. It was disgusting. There was, like... beautiful cinematography, wonderful arty shots, like the things that they were doing with, you know, the didn't have to, well, there was probably more CGI in this, but, you know, like just really clever use of camera angles and shadows and just good old-fashioned acting the shit out of scenes.
Yeah.
I can't say that I have watched anything with Lily Rose Depp, but she... eight in this movie, she absolutely killed it.
Interesting.
Did you have a different experience in this film?
I mean, it's kind of strange. One of the metaphors that came past, like, my brain, okay, you know, I don't do metaphors often, but one of the things that I kind of grabbed from this, so do you remember Mossberger?
Yes.
Okay. And Mossberger, as I've always described Mossberger, for anyone out there who doesn't know Mossberger, Mossberger was a hamburger chain that came to Australia that was Japanese, so it had a lot of Japanese stuff. But I felt like, how did they make Mossberger? Well, a bunch of executives flew out from Japan to the US and went into McDonald's in like the 80s and just watched everything and wrote notes and then went back to Japan and explained it to a bunch of technicians who recreated everything according to how it was explained to them. And in the end, you get this kind of Frankenbeast that is an American-style Japanese hamburger place that, while is technically perfect, just is a little strange. Like, it just doesn't quite work. It's definitely doing its own thing, but it definitely has all of the influences from everything. So I kind of looked at, like, I felt at the end of it, it's like the Mossberger of hamburgers, you know. Was it delicious? Well, yeah, it tasted pretty good. You know, did it sort of do everything that you expect when you go for a hamburger? Yeah. But did it feel weird? Yeah. Did it kind of have a bit of lacking chaos in it? Yeah. I just didn't get it. Yeah, and it, like, while technically, like, as a technician, you know, Robert Eggers, perfect. Like, you know, great scenes, well-cameraed, all that kind of stuff. But one of the things that it didn't hit for me was I didn't really give a shit about anyone. And that was the thing.
Okay.
I know, all right. Like, you know, I'm sitting there going, oh, and I'm still going to, like, say right now my top vampire movies are probably Bram Stoker's
Twilight.
Perfect. No notes. Especially that bit where he gets really, like, he tries to smell her and then goes, like, he's going to throw up somewhere. that's my favorite. No, Bram Stoker's Dracula, like Francis Ford Coppola's.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my kind of, even if.
The original.
Yeah. Keanu Reeves acting it is abysmal, but, you know, it's. It's still my best, faithful, like, funnest adaptation. Or Shadow of the Vampire. So did you ever see Shadow of the Vampire, Jill? No.
No.
So Shadow of the Vampire starred Willem Dafoe as Count Orlok, and it was...
It was about the making of the movie.
Yeah, so it was like he starred as Max von Schreck, who was playing Count Orlok in that as it was making, and it's really... great. Like, it's a really great film. And, you know, then the original Nosferatu, kind of for the history of it. And in this one, I kind of got a little bit sidetracked and disappointed by the fact that I didn't know who I was supposed to connect with in this story. I felt like I wanted a bit more out of people. I wanted, like, I didn't, you know, who do you sympathize with? You're supposed to sympathize with, you know, the virgin waif. Are you supposed to sympathize with the count? Are you supposed to sympathize with the husband who's been, you know, betrayed, or like all those sorts of things? And I was like, I think it's lacking a bit of, like, through line with it, as in, I just, by the time, even, you know, Willem Dafoe, who's in this again and not playing a vampire or vampire adjacent person, he's kind of doing the old, what is it, Van Helsing crazy.
Sure, yeah.
Even that, which I really love watching him work on screen, it just missed some beats. And I was just a bit like, oh, okay. And then by the time that the movie finished, I was like, oh, okay. And it, but it, you know, look, it does a great line in bleeding, making your ears bleed jump scares. You know, that's the whole sort of point. And, you know, some beautiful set pieces. But, like, overall, I was just kind of, I felt a bit lacking. Sorry.
Wow.
But it's much, but in defense, much better than The Northman. Really didn't like The Northman.
Oh, right.
Like, you know, like The Witch, it's a slow burner, but it's fun. Like, you know, it's interesting. The Northman, I was like, yeah, gonna watch this. Some of these, like, images look amazing, but it's like, oh, it's not carried together with a particularly good through line. And then, yeah, it's real weird. Like, yeah, it's okay. Not. Anyway, go watch The Northman if you want to. I don't care. There's a couple of beautiful scenes in it, like that are painting-like frames that he makes in it. But the rest of it, I was like, this is a bit fucking dumb. It's kind of like men's rights activist 101.
Oh.
Stupidly, like it's a weird ideology of what masculinity is based on Viking mythology.
Okay.
Yeah, to me.
That one a miss.
That's what I picked up from it.
Oh, wait, that was the one with the other Skarsgård,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, I never got around to watching that.
Yeah. So anyway, like it's all kind of.
Yeah, it looked stupid.
Yeah.
Anyway, but.
But this one, Nosferatu.
Right, so this one.
Yeah. So you seem to have a good time, like a real good time with it, and I feel like
I did have a little moment in the middle where I was getting a bit eepy, but like that was just because like it is kind of a little bit dull.
Yeah.
In like terms of the dialogue, you do have to kind of slog through it.
Mm.
By no means is this like Hollywood action blockbuster adventure kind of film. It is very definitely on the art side of filmmaking. It leans very heavily into grey tones. There's not a lot of colour.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it could be difficult to keep your attention watching the whole of this movie. But for me, I kind of like was really digging like the arty style of it and like how it kind of lent into that really old school horror. And was having a really good time with it. I thought like the performances from Bill Skarsgård, who is like, let's just coin him the new monster man of the 21st century. Like he's doing terrifying things.
Yeah.
His Nosferatu was fucking intimidating and terrifying. And the voice was great. Like all of that was like really scary stuff. And I think the performances from like Nicholas Holt and Lily Rose Depp were good. Like their terror, I believed it, was good.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Interesting.
But I suppose if you're into horror, I think you'll enjoy it as long as you can get on board with like the dull kind of undertone that it carries.
Yeah.
I think it kind of pays off at the end.
Look, you know, it's a good and bad to my mind. Like this is the thing, it has so many, it's obviously made really well and everyone is committed, like I have to say.
Oh yeah.
Everyone in it is committed. There's no one who is not giving it a go, but I kind of like by the end of it I was just kind of like, well, I don't know, what was that about? Like what's the ultimate, what are you saying?
It was just a tragedy. It's a tragic film.
But is it tragic? Because who is the person I'm supposed to feel sorry for? Like out of all, who do you think
the
I should?
The woman.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Because she sacrificed herself to save her husband and the town.
Yeah.
Even though it was her fault that she called the vampire, in the end, she saved everybody.
It didn't, but I have to admit by the end of it I was like, I don't care for you, like I don't have sympathy, you know, like, you know, I don't know why. Like, maybe it's because I saw like the Bram Stoker version, the Francis Ford Coppola version that like earlier on. So it kind of did that, but I got that Mina Harker character because she was had a bit of purity and innocence about her that I understood it. And then she is seduced by the darkness and she becomes defensive of the darkness and has, yeah, it's kind of like she feels, you know, sympathy for the victim of this. Whereas in this one, it's not that story. So it is just kind of like demon and lust and.
Yeah, honestly, you only get a little bit of it in like backstory at the start of the film and you don't kind of get to relate to her before she calls the vampire. So you do kind of lose that intro to having sympathy for her character. I can see that. But I thought it was still a good watch.
There was, I mean, to reference it is weird because like in the 92 one that I'm talking about that I'm playing off, you've got Mina Harker and Lucy, her friend, and they're the two that like in that film you get very easily stereotyped, which is like here is the virginal one, here is the lustful one. And in this one, that's kind of pushed together into the one female. And that is where I think it breaks the kind of it broke that as an understanding of me for that character. Whereas I really, I mean, I thought it was really interesting what they did with Orlok to make him kind of like, I'm just an urge. I can't love. I can't have anything. I am just a drive. They presented him in this film. Didn't get like, it's not really like, he's not a malevolent beast or demon. He's just a presence that is overshadows and sends people kind of mad. That's kind of essentially what they did in the original Nosferatu, because it was all about Max Schreck's, you know, interesting shadows and shadow play and all that kind of stuff in this film. So yeah, like I kind of got it, but yeah, in the end I was like, ooh, I'm just not satisfied with this version. And it's a different version though. Like it's not your, like at least it's not your twinkly vampires and it's not your hot vampire. It's not your tween vampire. Like
definitely not sexy. I'm the monster fucker in any other universe, but this guy not it.
Yeah, he definitely does fuck because you can.
He's not on my hear me out cake, okay?
Yeah. Exactly. No, I understand that. Especially, you know, when it stood up and I got to see full Orlok dong.
When
and
you
I was...
get full vampire peen, I'm like, no.
Full undead peen. And I was like, okay, great. This is where we are, hey? You know, and then it just... I love that it just backs away from that. But he's not a sexy vampire. It's like, okay, cool. Yeah, no.
Hell
worries.
No.
Yeah, hell no. But, yeah, it's an interesting thing. I mean, you know, I really like watching Willem Dafoe run. I thought he wasn't...
Oh, and he had the best lines in this movie.
He did.
Everyone was laughing, even though he was giving these lines with a straight face.
Yeah, and I really... I wanted him to go a bit more off. Like, I felt like he wasn't enough off in this.
Oh, I don't know. I think if he did go even more off, it would be too far away from what the movie was trying to do.
Yeah, I mean, that I don't know, but I kind of like that because that was part of the crazy Anthony Hopkins version in, you know, the Bram Stoker's one, where he's just a crazy ass kind of dude, and you're like, oh, okay, so you have to go along with him. All right. In this one, it's kind of like, is he crazy? We don't know. But maybe he's saying, but he had sympathy. Yeah, I almost got there with that when that character gets introduced, because he has such sympathy for the female lead that you can get drawn in with that as an audience member. But it just still failed a little bit for me, especially the monologue at the end. And I was like, it's, I don't know.
Fair enough.
Should we just go have a little look at the trailer just for people who may not have seen it, and then we'll come back and give it a quick rating, and then we'll go on to the rest of the stuff because we've got a fair bit of things to go through. Okay. All right, we go do that then.
Okay. Come to me. Come to me. I've never shared my secret with any soul.
You've had these spells since childhood. Tell me what you can from the beginning.
It is like a dream. It was our wedding. When we turned around, everyone was dead. The stench of their bodies was horrible. Standing before me was death. But I'd never been so happy.
This creature is a force more powerful than evil. Its desire is to consume all life on Earth.
Only you can redeem us. He is coming.
There is a devil in this world, and I have met him.
But you could never please me as he could.
I mean, are you ready? Is anyone ready?
To write it?
Sorry. Better turn the mic back on. I don't know. Look, I'm ready to write it, but I've also got to say Renfield in this, the Renfield archetype, because remember, it isn't technically Bram Stoker's Dracula. That was kind of, he was nice and crazy. I liked him.
Very crazy.
There's your Nosferatu. It's just stylistic.
Yeah.
Pretty, lots of jump scares, lots of blah, but not much blur and not a lot of blood and not a lot of gore. So I kind of feel like
it was a bit, and what was there was gross.
We
saw a dude bite the head off a pigeon and then chew it, like that was gross.
and
it like spurted blood.
Well, that was just funny. I mean,
no, it was gross.
It was just a little bit of stage magic, a little bit of sleight of hand of, you know, the bird, the real bird that he's holding just drops out of frame slightly while he switches out his hand and pulls up the one that is the mock. And then there's a little bit of Japanese blood fountain going, fine. Sure. Anyway, Jill, do you want to rate this one?
Because we did see it. I think I'd give it like a 70.
70?
Yeah, I really like the arty style of it. Yeah. I'm going to keep saying it.
Yeah. That's cool. I mean, look, I'd probably give it about a 70 as well. In the sense that, like, I'm not saying that I didn't like it. I'm just saying it lacked something for me to make it a really great version.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the things ran into Celluloid and Whiskey Travis afterwards, and I agreed with what he said, which was like, yeah, it doesn't bring enough to the table to make it, to elevate it, to give you a real point of like, you have to see Nosferatu. It's really amazing.
Oh, exactly.
But, you know, yeah, like if you can remake, you know, live action versions of The Lion King and all of that shit within 20 years, yeah, sure, 102 years later, you can definitely make a pretty decent Nosferatu,
yes.
Which is kind of cool because it does all that sort of stuff. So, yeah. All right. Now, going to move on. So, look, I'm going to say it comes out in Boxing Day. If you just need something to – actually, I can't say that. I can't say if you just need to escape the heat or you have a hangover and you want to go watch it. I cannot say that because it will just – if you have a hangover, it'll be demonic.
It's not a hangover movie.
No, but if you need to get out of the heat, yeah, 100%. Like, get out of the heat. Go watch Nosferatu. It's all dark and cold and it's mainly snowing in most of it because it's all set in Germany. All the Carpathians. And really annoyingly, they made a popcorn bucket, which is really cool. It's a stone coffin thing.
Sick.
You can, yeah, I know, right? And we still don't get any of that.
Oh, boring. Dear. 2024, year of the popcorn bucket.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, Karina, I was just reading the chat there going Renfield, which came out, which was Nicholas Holt, remember? Renfield?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, that was a different take on things. And I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah, yeah, that's sort of fun. So, wow, Nicholas Holt's doing a lot of vampire-based stuff.
Well,
in
so
one.
Is Willem Dafoe, because he was also in sure. Dracula. So
sure. Sure. Oh, he was in Shadow of the Vampire.
Oh, he sorry.
It's Gary Oldman you know. Was Dracula.
Yes.
Yes, Gaddy. Stand by that. Now, Jill, you have to admit that you haven't seen much of the rest of the things we're going to talk about.
That's true. I've been busy. I have been watching Shrinking Season 2, though.
Oh, and which I have not. Perfect. Yeah, yeah. we played the trailer to open the show tonight with, which was June Prophecy. Now,
yes.
I liked June.
Yes.
I liked June Part 2.
I can't even remember if I've seen the second part, to be honest.
Yeah, how do you feel about The Very Special Boy in the Desert, Jill?
No, I don't think much of him, to
sure.
be honest.
Yeah, yeah. Look, you know.
Yeah. It's not my sci-fi thing.
Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah. This is okay. And it's not really anyone's sort of sci-fi thing because June has always been slightly problematic and, you know, the books don't have great lessons about humanity. But, you know, it's
plenty of worm dick, though.
Yeah, yeah, plenty of worm dick. Plenty of becoming one with the worm, if you know what I mean. But this is, so on the back of the two successful movies, because we love Denis Villeneuve, we have this, the HBO or Max, sorry, I got to call it now.
Yes.
It's Max technically.
The
June
prestige
Prophecy.
Drama version.
Yeah. You know, now that everyone is scrambling to find the next Game of Thrones adjacent thing that we can attach to, we now get the history of the Bene Gesserit house, or not houses, the order of the Bene Gesserit. And we get to find all that stuff out in June Prophecy.
Is that literally all this show is about? The Bene Gesserit?
Yes.
Oh,
well,
that seems boring.
I mean, slightly unfairly, it is always bad to review a show one on one season because you can always have a shitty one.
Okay.
And then it's always a bit worse to review it solely on just three episodes. Now, there have only been three episodes that have come out. I've seen the three episodes and I want to give it a little bit more space to breathe, but at the moment I have to admit I'm getting really bored by it.
Oh, well, we kind of have a three episode rule most times. Like if it doesn't get better after three, then that's it.
Yeah, but I ignore that rule constantly. like, you know, I will watch stuff that I should have, like, I watched all of C. Like,
oh,
come on.
God.
But, like, I am going to watch June Prophecy, but I have to admit that I'm a little dulled by it at the moment.
Okay.
Mainly because it's feeling very much like, what was the prequel to House of the Dragon? Like, that has come out, and this feels a little bit like that, which is like, there's a bunch of characters. They're skipping time and timelines without telling you, but you're picking it up as you go along. And it's all about these sort of things. But, like, Dune is a massive world. There's so much scope to play with. And in this, what are they still focusing on? The fucking Harkonnen family and the Atreides family. And clans. And you're like,
yeah,
you're getting a bit more of Carino, which is the Emperor's house. But it's set 10,000 years before Dune. Right.
Oh, geez. Oh,
and,
okay. There could be a million other things to talk about.
Yeah, there are so many other things to think about and do that. I mean, I was saying today, discussing, I was going, there's this thing called the Lanserad. The Lanserad is all the houses of all the different families that come together and basically have the government. They're the governmental group that sit under the emperor that run everything. There's got to be much more in there. We don't need to just go back to the well and keep discussing fucking.
Right. So why not just make it a political sci-fi?
Yeah, kind of. Like, that's what you were hoping, like, you know, House of Cards, but in space.
Yeah. And then it's like, well, in 10,000 years' time, we're going to build up to this huge, like, prophecy. Yeah, yeah. That's in the title of this show. Yeah,
when do you get
so,
the prophecy?
So, like, let's explore the politics of how we got to, you know, that that antagonism between the two planets and getting the spice and shit.
Yeah, and this is already set at the same kind of, but it's explaining stuff to us instead of showing us. I found it's there's a lot of explain and not a lot of show, which is starting to get a little bit annoying. And Adsky said in the chat there, it's like politics of Game of Thrones without the sex and violence. No, no, no. There's plenty of sex. They're double downing on trying to make it really sexy, and, you know, occasionally getting to violent-y bits, but it's just landing weirdly for me. And I'm just kind of like, oh, it doesn't feel interesting enough to worry too much about it. And I don't really, like, the Bene Gesserit, I don't need to know their background. I like that they're mysterious.
Yeah.
How did they get there? It's just, yeah, I'm not. It's just, I'm not taken by it. And again, they're sort of suffering from the, you know, one world, one ecosystem problems. You know, it's like we go to this world, it's icy, and we go to this world, and it's just forest. Or you go to the, and I'm like, okay. Yeah.
And they can breathe on every planet.
Yeah, just those. Like, I mean, I really wanted to like it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the cast in it is pretty strong. But I've also got to, I've started to look at it and I go, Travis Fimmel, mate, love you. You're a great person. But at some point I'm like, oh, buddy, you seem to be the killer of the sci-fi stuff. And there's a replicating theme, I think, of tonight, if I could talk about this stuff. It's Control-C, Control-V. And that's going to come back everywhere. It's copy-paste.
Oh,
and Travis's character seems to, if you watched any of that Ridley Scott-produced show Raised by Wolves, it feels very heavily like you could have just picked Travis up out of that show and then just put him in this show and change character name, keep going, same acting, same ideas, go for it. You know, it's a little bit kind of like, oh, right, that's not... Anyway, look, I hope it gets better.
Okay.
Silver Soul, do you want to, you're going to go out there and watch Dune Prophecy?
No, definitely not going to even bother trying now.
Yeah, I mean, unless you...
I'm just not interested in Dune.
Unless you're a fan of...
Not for me.
You know, Special Boy in the Desert. I can't recommend this as something. You know, whereas, you know, the ballerinas or the ballerina...
Oh, yeah.
The John Wick
spin-off thing.
Spin-off thing.
Yeah.
That looks interesting.
Yeah.
This one, I'm like, oh, this is quite dull and doesn't really grab me. Oh, well. But I'll give it up.
Yeah.
I'll keep going. Now, Jill.
Yes.
We have to remember for the next one. And look, anyone out there who's on the fence about it, look, give them a few episodes for Dune Prophecy. Fine. But if it does, I can't really recommend it. Unless you're bored over Christmas, just watch it all at once.
If you want to watch a show where the family definitely won't join you, watch Dune Prophecy.
Could be that one. And now we may be a few weeks late, but just remember, Jill, what we do in life echoes an eternity.
I remember that day. I never forgot it. That a slave could take revenge against an emperor.
Where were you born?
I don't know. I never knew a mother nor a father.
You will be my instrument.
Who are you?
Did you hear that crowd?
The greatest temple
Rome ever built.
The Colosseum. Because this is what they believe in. Power.
General Acacius,
there are victories yet still to come.
Rome has so many subjects, she must feed them.
They can eat war.
The arena turns slaves into gladiators. The gladiators into free men.
You have something in you. I knew it from the start.
Did you now?
Rage. That rage is your gift.
survival! Survive!
Hold together, and when it charges, break for the wall.
Whose head could I give you that would satisfy this fury?
The entire Roman armies.
Too much.
The general will do. Human beings
in a mad. Rome must fall. I need to only give it a push.
Will we make it out alive? Alright, alright.
Hands on the mausoleum floor. Blood stains the Colosseum doors.
This ring belonged to Maximus. Now I give it to you.
What is the dream of Rome? If her people are not free.
I was owned. Now I will control an empire.
I will not waste another generation of young men for their vanity.
Strength and honor!
This our own treason to heroes!
Tears on the mausoleum floor.
The gods of Sparta!
Jill.
Yeah.
As much as you loved the 2002 original Gladiator starring Rusty, as we all know and love.
Yeah, that I watched a whole 30 minutes of before switching off.
Yeah. I have to admit, this is probably the laziest film I've seen all year, and I've seen a bunch of terrible, terrible films, but this one feels the laziest.
Oh, no. I was willing to give it a go for Pedro, but after hearing that they cut all of the gay kisses... I'm like, fuck this movie.
I mean, I don't, were they? I couldn't even tell because
there were. Denzel had a full on pash, and he's kind of cut that they cut it from the film. He's like, oh, well.
Fair enough.
Yeah. You
know, when in Rome, as they
and
say.
And then, like, all of the bromance between Paul Mescal and Pedro was, like, kind of cut out. Ridley went for the no homo cut.
Ridley went for a lot of cuts out of this that that he seemed, and I feel like he may have, I feel like he may have just tried to get as much as he possibly could and then had to trim it all down. There might be a 7-hour cut of Gladiator 2 out there, which no one needs to fucking see, because if you've seen Gladiator, you have seen Gladiator 2. This is the thing that annoyed the shit out of me, which is like...
But this one's got a rhino.
Yeah, it's just the scenes that he couldn't or they wouldn't let him do in Gladiator 1, he just gets to do in Gladiator 2, and he did not do anything different. And that's what's incredibly frustrating. Like, I mean, is everything amazing? Yeah, it's a spectacle. He's doing the same thing. It's all color graded the same fucking way, you know. I just watched it and I was like, this is just the same fucking film. I mean, and I watch things that are the same film, you know. I watched, you know, The Force Awakens. I know what that stuff is, but, you know, there's nothing in this to make me go, hey, you should go out and watch Gladiator 2.
Mm.
Nothing in there. It's like, do you want to watch it? It's like, sure. If someone put it on and you got nothing better to do, yeah, watch Gladiator 2, but go out there and, like, I think the idea that people out there going, you need to watch it as Glicked as a double feature. I'm like, no, you just need to watch. you just need to watch Wicked. You'll have a much better time. I cannot imagine going out and watching Wicked and then watching Gladiator 2, because I'd be like, well, now I'm depressed. I was happy, and now I'm depressed.
Oh, Tari says she'll just watch Alexander again. That was another one they cut all the gay shit out of, Tari. Stop. Giving money to the no homo cuts.
give us our
periodically accurate gays.
This is just like, I mean, I tried really hard. Like, I was watching it go, no, I've got to give it a go. I've got to give it a go. Even especially when it opens with the opening credits of Gladiator 2 are literally frames from Gladiator 1.
Oh,
explaining what happened in Gladiator 1. And I'm like, we all know. We don't need. And then it's just the same thing. There's a dude who's really rough and ragged, but he's got stuff pouring through his fingers. And then his wife dies and he's real angry at Rome. And then he kills a bunch of people. And then in the end, he dies. End of story. Like,
Mum and Dad saw it on the weekend. I was chatting to Mum. And she's like, oh, we went and saw Gladiator 2. I'm like, oh, yeah. How was it? And she's like, oh, yeah, it was okay. That's bad.
It's fine.
There's a review from my mother that is on the low side. Like,
I
unless they're going to say, oh, my God, I couldn't believe it, and then this happened, and then this happened. That's a rave review. But like, it was pretty good.
It was pretty good. Yeah, yeah.
That means bad.
Yeah.
They just don't know.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to, people are asking for it now. We need your mum review, your mum's review.
Yeah.
Film mid.
My translation of mum's review. Yes, Karina, mid.
I loved a skit that someone did, they came up with, which was like finding the guy that has to go and get all the animals that they need in the Colosseum and then explaining that through the, like, as it goes through Gladiator 2. It's like, oh, you know, we need monkeys. Like, I got some baboons. Baboons are pretty rough. I've got a baboon guy. No problem. Yeah, I can sort that out. And then it's like, well, we need a rhino too. It's like, rhino? Well, it's a bit difficult, but yeah, no worries. I can grab one. We'll get some easy done. And then they're like, oh, yeah, and, we need sharks. And they're like, he's like, well, no, really? Why? Like, you're joking. Like, nice one. That's pretty funny. He's like, no. We're going to flood the Colosseum and put sharks in there. And he's like, so I have to get sharks out of the water and then transport
and
them.
And then also get water into the Colosseum.
And then I have to transport them to Rome. And then they've got to live long enough so I can't hurt them. And this is before the
This is the whole reason why they invented aqueducts, so that they could flood the Colosseum and put sharks in there.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know.
Yeah, that's going to be on that next History Channel documentary.
I mean, it's just, yeah, I didn't have a good time watching it. I tried very hard. Like, Denzel Washington is great, though. Like, he is just eating scenery, fine. But that's what he was paid to do. He just gets to eat all the fucking scenery and do whatever he wants. Yeah. The rest of them, I was just like, oh, God, this is just frustrating.
Okay.
Anyway. So that's pretty much what I've gone and looked at and
got up to. I'll give it an attempt when it comes on streaming.
Yeah.
See if we can get past 30 minutes.
Yeah, it's, they even put him in the same fucking costume. Because if you haven't picked up on it now, the kid, the guy that's in there as the gladiator is Lucius from the first movie. You know, the kid of the woman who was in. Yeah, I know. And then it turns out Maximus was his dad. So he's the son of Maximus.
Oh, no! That's the laziest story,
right? Yeah, right? And it has been pointed out quite effectively, is that the reason people connected with Gladiator is because he has a whole speech where he goes, who are you? And it's like, you know, I'm, you know, husband to a murdered wife, father to a murdered child, all right? Except...
Oh.
Except
they're
no,
not.
No. It's just that he cheated on his wife with this other woman and had a son out of wedlock.
Oh,
so
okay.
His whole,
this is the illegitimate son.
Yeah, so his whole noble, you know, idea that he's just there to avenge his dead wife and he gets to go into the Elysian Fields at the end of Gladiator and be reconnected with his family is totally undercut by the fact it's like, also his bastard son's now a gladiator and he's going to take down Rome as well. It just felt, you know, kudos for Ridley for making stuff. Stop letting him make shit. I mean, let other people have a go, Rids. You've done some amazing films. I really like some great Ridley Scott ones out there, but your recent bunch of stuff has been pretty fucking terrible. Yeah.
That's a shame.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, this take from this week is to go and watch Wicked again, which Jill has done.
I did. I have now seen it twice. Cried even more the second time. But yeah, it's bloody good.
Yeah, bloody good. Do I get to, like, are you allowed to gonk me out on this one if not? But does anyone want to, like, can I give him a two episode review of Skeleton Crew?
Yeah, please. I didn't even realize it had come out yet, we've got a two-episode drop. So
yeah.
That's
quick trailer, and then we'll come back, and I'll give my gonk. I'll give my gonkiest gonk.
Okay. What are you in for? What are you in for?
I found something buried in the woods.
Dad.
This is unacceptable. Do you understand?
What do you think it is? Don't touch anything. What did you do?
We're lost. Really lost.
Stay together. We just need some directions home.
Come on, kid. Pay up.
Whoa. Where'd you two find an old Republic credit?
Help!
Over here, quick. I'll get you home. We'll make a partnership.
But we have to move fast.
I need you to take the controls.
Okay.
Neo? Neo?
A crew of murderous pirates is coming.
Something's wrong.
They're not going to just turn up. We need to find them.
We're not alone down here.
Oh, be warned of booby traps. Pirates and mountains where none dare to go.
If you hear this, don't give up. No matter what.
Yeah, look, I know I'm a tragic, it's okay, but this one is a bit of fun. I had problems with the first episode. I didn't quite get on board with it straight away, as some people did, but I'm quite enjoying this Skeleton Crew little bit of a thing that's going on.
Okay.
I like the pirates. Nice. The pirates are fun. It's a little bit scary. They don't shy away from killing people like pirates do. It's not okay. It's not too G-rated. Yeah, Predator Kangaroo. It's 100% Space Goonies. This was explained. This was explained ages. This was explained by the directors, who was just like, yeah, it's Space Goonies, including down to the fact of like pirate hats and the whole kind of thing there. But there are four lead kids. There's I was going to say Ralph Fiennes, but it's not Ralph Fiennes.
It's Jude Law.
Just interchanging people nowadays. Jude Law hasn't had much of a chance to expand yet. He's only just sort of arrived in the second episode. But it's really an interesting and different take on the Star Wars universe. And so, you know, it is set post Return of the Jedi. So it's in the bit where the Empire has fallen and the galaxy's in the New Republic era. So kind of around the same time as Mandalorian feels. Okay. Feels like Mandalorian adjacent kind of timing. But, you know, I'm liking it. And I think it's just a different take, you know. And, yeah, not so many Jedi and lightsabers and all that kind of stuff, really. But, yeah, I'm just kind of, yeah, Jude Law and his very receding hairline. My favorite character so far is SM-33. Which is the...
Oh, great. I love a lovable droid.
And he's not real lovable, unlike...
Even better, because I love K2SO, because yeah, he's a sassy bitch.
Yeah, K2SO is a sassy bitch, and SM-33, who is the same kind of droid, I think.
It's like a Sentinel kind of droid or something, right?
But it's pre that one. Anyway, he's like... What's SM-33 say? Smee.
Oh, cute. Yeah, okay. It's like,
he's the bosun, he takes care of the ship and does all that kind of stuff. And I love Smee already.
Nice.
He's fun. But I'm really liking Neil, as he's the the blue elephant kind of character. He's actually quite great because he's sweet. It's kind of like this one is a sweet kid who has a loving family and has brothers and sisters that he loves and loves his parents, kind of. Like, there's all the archetypes that you're out of. There's the rebel teenager, there's the tech teenager, there's the, you know, keychain kid whose parents don't pay enough attention, or parent doesn't pay enough attention to him. And then there's Neil, and Neil is the one who comes from a very stable, loving home with great parents and you know, brothers and sisters that he loves, and is just kind of like, okay, I'll go along with it, you know. So that I kind of like already, I'm like, okay, great, you're just doing this stuff. Yes, Tari, I hope Hondo turns up. That would be great, but he'd be very old by now in canonical terms.
Oh.
Because if this is post Return of the Jedi and Hondo was around in the Clone Wars as a aging person, he should be the Pirate King. That's who Hondo should be when he turns up. A really old Hondo Onaka as cool. a Pirate King would be good. No, the boatswain isn't called Higgs. It's called Smee or SM33. Point that one out. Anyway, droid, the droid that's in there. Who's voiced by Nick Frost?
Oh, cute. Yeah. Okay.
So now Nick Frost and Son of Kega are in that. Yeah. Yeah, it's cool. I'm quite enjoying it. And it's a fun little... I think it's got a little bit more depth than I expected, even though it is very superficial and very kind of 80s Americana.
Okay.
It's a bit of a jar there, I think, at the start, where it's like, what is this 80s Americana? But the best thing about it is pirates are piratey and they're not nice people. Who'd have thought if you just kind of went, well, these are evil people, so they do evil things, like try to kill kids.
Yeah.
That's what they're supposed to do.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
I'm loving different stuff from the Star Wars universe, so I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, like I'm still waiting for season two of Andor to come out, and, you know, that's my favorite non-Jedi related Star Wars thing. I don't need to go into the rest of it. This one's just another one of that nature.
Cool.
Yeah. So looking forward. That'll keep me going through to Christmas. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then still got more stuff. Severance 2 has got to come out. Got to finish watching Shrinking. Should I bother with Shrinking? Is that okay?
Yes.
Of course. I'm always going to bother with Shrinking. Final episode is next week. Right. Did you take my advice? Did you try and find Lioness? Give that a go?
No, I haven't had a lot of time for other stuff yet.
Yeah. I still put that one out there as it's kind of an interesting... a little kind of political / action TV show. But, yeah, that's all. Now, next week, when we're back.
Yeah, you guys are doing Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, because Jill loves Lord of the Rings. so when it came out that there's going to be an animated one just about the Riders of Rohan, I mean.
Look, I don't understand it, but the animation looked cool.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I might watch that, but I not going to bend over backwards to do that.
Yeah.
So that's a nerdy boys one.
Well, we'll see. We're going to go see it on Monday and then come back and give you a review on Tuesday. And then the week after that, you need to get your Christmas smut prepared.
Start watching all of the shitty Hallmark films, all of the straight to Netflix television movies.
You've already done Hot Frosty, haven't you?
I've done Hot Frosty and I've done Merry Gentlemen. So next up, I'm going to watch Lindsay's newest Christmas Bear.
Yeah, what Christmas thirst traps are you going to do? Plus anything else that we finally get around to seeing or...
Yeah.
The Penguin. Yeah, Penguin was good.
Oh, the ending on the Penguin, man.
I really love that.
I was kind of devo.
I'm great with it though because I'm like, yes.
Yes, but also, oh...
But that's why it's yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I saw, what was the trailer for the thing that we saw last night, which was...
Wolfman.
Yeah, that looks tight.
Latest Lee Whannell Blumhouse fare.
Yep, that looks...
Off the back of Invisible Man, now we've got Wolfman. So I don't know if Universal are secretly doing their Monsterverse now.
Yeah, maybe side just MonsterVerse.
Via other production houses. I don't know.
Maybe.
Because now we've got Nosferatu.
Yep.
We've had Invisible Man, and now we've got Wolfman.
But technically Invisible Man died and Nosferatu died and yeah. Like, I mean, hey. I don't want to try to do that. But no, the Wolfman looked good. And there's another werewolves movie that's out soon too. And we still didn't get around to watching Moana 2.
No.
Has anyone in the chat seen Moana 2? Did you like it? Was it very, did it rock around the clock? Which one's better, Red One or Moana 2? They both star The Rock.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget that that's it. Cool. All right. Thank you, Chili. Thank you, thanks, everyone, Steve, in the chat for turning up and saying hi and listening to us talk about stuff. Yes, go see Skeleton Crew. That's been fun. Avoid Gladiator 2. Dune Prophecy continues to be a bit of a shit prophecy. Nosferatu. Yeah. Nosferatu as well.
Yes.
Yeah, that's all right. Moana, you could save it for Christmas. I don't know. Go to the beach and watch it. It feels like what you'd be. I'd go and watch Moana too on it.
Or like that Moonlight Cinema thing.
Yeah. On a beach. It'd be great.
Yeah.
Inside the shark net thing, though.
Yeah.
Just be careful.
And with cocktails.
With cocktails. No, because then you pee in the water.
Yeah, pina coladas.
And then people would pee in the water.
Yeah, but then you warm up.
I'm a bit cold. Oh, I can help with that. Swim closer to me then. All right, on that disgusting note, I'm going to go now. Thank you, everybody. Bye.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.